Hey, sleepers, we are giving away an autographed Antonio Brown jersey from PristineAuction.com. PristineAuction.com and Sleeper Wire are teaming up for this very special raffle, and it's so easy to win. All you have to do is give us a review wherever you listen to the show. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbeans. Drop us a thoughtful review, screen cap it if you can, and email us at sleeperwire@gmail.com, letting us know the review is posted. That's it. And you're entered into the drawing to win the signed Antonio Brown jersey from PristineAuction.com, which, by the way, is our place of choice to get autographed, certified, authentic sports memorabilia. Helmets, jerseys, balls, and pictures, all for incredible deals, only at PristineAuction.com. Visit them today. Welcome to the Sleeper Wire show, podcast, whatever you want to call it. We're back. And today is July 20th, one day before Robin Williams' birthday. Were you guys fans of Robin Williams, the comedian?
Absolutely.
Who wasn't?
Good Morning Vietnam, possibly one of the funniest movies ever made.
I feel like that movie, honestly, didn't get the hype it should have. Miss Doubtfire is going to sound like blasphemy. Wasn't my favorite movie, not the biggest fan, but Good Morning Vietnam was just a cult classic. Like, it was so good.
I kind of like the one where he played the creepy photo guy. That was later in his career, and it was kind of a weird movie. I can't remember what it was called. But anyway, it would be his birthday tomorrow, but today we're talking fantasy football, and as you heard, Max and Lucas are with me, Steve, and we're going to do a show for you about fantasy football. Today on the show, we're going to cover just a little bit of news. Then we're going to talk about some second-round talents that we would grab and explain ourselves. Then we're going to go into a little bit of discussion about some bounce-back players and finish it up with who we are looking to avoid at all costs and why. Let's get started. All right, so let's go through the news real quick, guys. The biggest news, I think, is this Ezekiel Elliott stuff. So earlier in the week, he was involved allegedly in an altercation at a bar, and now the Dallas Police Department is saying they're suspending the investigation because there's no reason to investigate. What do you guys make of this?
No, I just kind of feel like Zeke just keeps getting in trouble. He gets in trouble, but I feel like it's always not his fault. It's just weird because I know that they came out and they said that there's a witness who says Zeke had nothing to do with it. And then you remember his college days when he was getting in trouble for that stuff. It's just very weird that he keeps getting in the center of all this. If I was Zeke with a suspension looming in the air, I would do my best just to chill at my house. I mean, I'm sure you have millions of dollars. I'm sure your friends wouldn't mind partying there. But kind of back away from the public until things calm down.
Is that really fair, though? Because, like, he isn't getting in trouble. And, yeah, I cut you off, Lucas. I'm going to get to you. But is that really fair, like, tell the guy to just become a hermit?
It's not becoming a hermit. It's being smart. It's right now, you are one of the hottest commodities in football. People know that you've, not that you necessarily have a troubled past, but that you can be, you're a football player. You're aggressive. They can get money out of you. If they can get you to hit them, they win. They get the money. So, with all these lawsuits coming out, these alleged lawsuits, you know, it's one of those things where just go party at your f***ing house. Sorry for swearing, but it's like, not be an adult. Hang out with your group of friends on a boat. Like, don't always be at the club. Don't be doing, just don't live in the public eye for a while. I mean, just until your suspension is over or until that kind of goes away. I don't know, I just feel like there's always something with him, and I love him as a player. He seems like a great guy. Don't know him personally. Would love to. If you want to hang out with Zeke, just give me a call. We hang out at my house. But as far as going to bars and clubs, when you have this kind of looming over you, like his previous assault charge, it's like, just kind of back off. Like, stay home. Throw a party at your house. Don't go to the bar and do this. Invite girls over. Invite your friends over.
We got Lucas on the line calling from Texas. Lucas, give us your take.
I think it sounds like Max wants Zeke to come over and Netflix and chill. But, you know, I think Zeke should go out and enjoy himself, but just don't sweat it. Like, don't get in the middle of things. If you see something going on, don't get in the middle of it. Let your friends, let whoever else is out with you deal with what they're doing. And you got to be smart enough that you're out at the bar just having a good time. Enjoy yourself, but you have to be smart enough. If you're going to go out and put yourself in those situations, you have to know that there are going to be people that are going to come poke you. They're going to come try to get a rise out of you, if for nothing else, just to get their 10 seconds of fame. So I agree with the sentiment that Max says you have to be smart enough, but I don't think that means that you have to sit at your house. I think that you can still go out and have a good time and enjoy being, you know, in your early 20s making millions of dollars. These are going to be some of the best times of your life. So I'm not saying you should not go out and have those times, but if you are going to go out, you know, keep your head on your shoulders. Don't get obliterated. You know, you don't need to be the drunkest guy at the room kind of thing.
Does this behavior affect either one of your draft valuations, is that a word? Valuations?
Evaluation?
Evaluation, there you go. Does he affect either one of your draft evaluation of Elliot?
No. I'm not asking him to be a hermit. I'm just saying until the suspension's up. You know what I mean? Until you're out of trouble. Like,
wait, you're jumping the gun. When has there a suspension been laid out?
The NFL is deliberating on one right now.
Okay, but it's not a thing yet.
Official yet.
Okay.
But all the signs point to he's going to be suspended. It shouldn't be for very long, so a game or two.
No way.
Which, to me, that's not going to affect his draft stock.
No way.
Well, it didn't affect Le'Veon Bell when he got suspended for four games.
No, Chris and I had a discussion about this the other day on the Mock Metal Monday, and Chris said something about they have to give him six games if it's for domestic violence. So it's six games if he gets it, and I don't think he's going to get it. The guy sells the most jerseys out of anybody. Like you said, Max, he's the hottest commodity in NFL right now. Huge in Dallas. If he gets six games, guarantee they're going to appeal it down, if not completely go away.
I don't think it'll get there because I don't think that there's warrant for it. You know, they're chasing a ghost here, but no. I do not think that six games is going to come, and it's basically six or nothing. Right. And I don't think anything's going to come of it.
Now the two games could have actually came off an article I was reading about with the bar fight. So just to clarify that, like I said, he's still a first round pick in my eyes.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think he's going to be charged with anything.
Me too.
If he does, and you have a super early draft, that sucks.
Let's talk about that.
You'll have a great second half.
Well, let's talk about that. If you are drafting already and without knowing, and you grab him in the first round, as I think everyone would, who's the backup?
Alfred Morris
or Darren McFadden?
I'm going McFadden. I think McFadden is more likely to be that guy because Morris doesn't have hands, and McFadden is more all around player. If McFadden can stay healthy, which I think that he can, I think that there would be a shared workload there. But I think McFadden would get the majority of the touches based on their game plan and how they play.
Yeah, but I just feel like Alfred Morris is the number two there right now, and I could see McFadden, like I do agree with you, McFadden has better hands, but with the injury proneness he has, I had McFadden a few years ago when their whole run game was just a mess, and McFadden, you know, did well for me. I was pretty happy with it, but I just feel like Alfred has more, at this point, talent than McFadden does when it comes to being a running back. And the Cowboys love to run. And that's why I think Alfred Morris is going to be the primary back. If you're in a PPR, yeah, I can see you reaching for McFadden and being like, you know what, he's going to get the receiving work. I agree. But Morris, if I need a running back, I'm going to grab him as a backup. And I mean, that's the best thing you can do, though. When you draft a running back in the first round or second round, when you put such high stock in that player, you need to have their backup. It's not an option. Because if they go down, like that's like your golden chip. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree, but I'm going to disagree in certain circumstances and where there is no clear second. Like when you have Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams was for sure just going to get that entire workload placed on him. If Elliott goes down, it's going to be a split between Morris and McFadden, and you really don't know which one of them is going to get the lion's share at that point in time. So is it smart to handcuff? I don't know, because you can't really guarantee a handcuff there. So maybe not.
I'm going to break the tie, and Max, don't think it's disagree with Max Day, but I think it's McFadden. They've had Alfred Morris and McFadden, and when they've had to use them, they've used McFadden a lot more than poor Alfred Morris. And it sucks because I really like Alfred Morris as a player. He's a good dude. He's a team player. He does exactly what he does. And I thought the Redskins criminally underused him. And I think Dallas doesn't really know what to do with him. He's on the team, but I don't think they have a feeling where he fits in. So I would say if you're drafting early and you get Zeke, I would go McFadden slightly over Morris at this point, late in your draft as a handcuff. But we could talk about that another day. Something bad has happened. Something bad to the Chargers. There's some rumors that their first-round pick, wide receiver Mike Williams, might need season-ending back surgery before the season even starts. So I don't know how you can call that season-ending back surgery, but is this the beginning of another injury-prone season for the Chargers? And if so, Lucas, who do you like on the Chargers? If they're losing players, who's going to benefit?
Well, I mean, Keenan Allen is going to come back and have a huge impact. He's another injury concern, but that guy is a stud. And right now, do we have an idea of exactly where he's going? I think he's going somewhere in the fourth.
It could be. Yeah, I've seen around there, sometimes earlier.
Okay, I think on draft calculator, okay, so he's 46, so he's 409. I think he, if you can get him in the third round, even without this other injury, I think Keenan Allen is still the go-to guy. And then Tyrell Williams, right? I mean, that guy put up some numbers when Keenan Allen went out last year. So I think those two, I'm still not huge on Melvin Gordon. You know, his first year, I know it's a different, but we're just talking about Chargers and general right now. And he had zero touchdowns his first year, and then he busted out, you know, double digits last year. I think that he's going to regress. I think that he'll still be decent. I think that Melvin Gordon is going way too high right now. I personally would not invest the eighth overall pick in him.
Yeah,
he is going in the I think first. Keenan Allen is the answer to that question, and then Tyrell Williams.
All right, Max, is Tyrell Williams the sleeper of the year?
No, he's not. Tyrell Williams is not the sleeper of the year. I want to know if there's like a curse that like I just don't know about for the Chargers. Like, you know, the Cubs had the GOAT, the Red Sox had Babe Ruth. Like, what voodoo curse is on the Chargers right now that just perpetually gets their entire team hurt?
Yeah.
But Melvin Gordon is going to be good. Maybe not worth the eighth overall pick, but I could see him being a high-end RB. I don't know, let's say second-round pick. He could be a second-round pick that breaks into the first-round caliber. I don't believe last year was an apparition of his talent. I do believe his rookie year, it's your rookie year. You're kind of getting your feet wet, and they had Danny Woodhead, and Danny Woodhead was a monster.
Yeah, but he got hurt.
Monster. When he got hurt, his second year, in his second year, he was great.
No, I'm talking Danny Woodhead got hurt.
I know. I'm talking about Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon, when he had the full opportunity, the full workload, there was no one else there, he stepped up, and he stepped up in a huge way, and I see that happening again. But as far as the receivers go, I completely agree with Lucas on his assessment, because that's just how it's going to work.
All right, last piece of news. Gary Barnridge visiting the Jaguars next Tuesday. Can either one of you guys, ever been to Jacksonville? Can you recommend a good steakhouse for Gary to grab a meal at? Because otherwise, I don't care.
No.
Okay, let's move on.
Nope.
All right, let's talk about let's move on to our next segment. We're going to talk about the second round talents that we got to grab, bounce back players, and the guys we're avoiding at all costs. Hey, sleepers, do you think you could beat us in fantasy football? What about Matt Harmon from NFL, Marcus Grant, Pony Keg Sports Podcast? You think you beat the Roto experts? You think you can beat the fantasy football fellas? Well, now is your chance. Sleeper Wire is once again holding its Sleeper Wire Pro-Am League. This is a fantasy football league made up of industry professionals plus you, the listeners and fans. We've got two leagues this year. We had so many people interested. We've got two separate leagues, which means more chances for you to play with teams that are run by Fantasy Life, Sleeper Bot, Football Fellas, Clock Dodgers Podcast, 515 Fantasy Football, the Dynasty Nerds, Eat Sleep Fantasy, and the Fantasy Happy Hour. If you think you have what it takes to beat these teams, please join us. It's so easy. All you got to do is make a small donation to our cause. You know, SleeperWire's cause is to raise money to help our friend Rob. He's got chronic Lyme disease and he needs treatment. So if you go to sleeperwire.com, go to the Pro-Am page /Pro-Am, you'll find all the information you need to do there. You just make a $10 donation, you get one entry. Make a $30 donation, that's three chances. We're going to have a raffle to decide who gets into these leagues. So the more you donate, the more chances you have. So it's a great way to play fantasy with some real experts, but also to make a difference in our friend Rob's life. For more information on how to enter, go to sleeperwire.com/Pro-Am.
This is Sean Merriman, and you're listening to The Sleeper Wire Show.
All right, so we're going to talk players now. Not just necessarily those names that everybody knows, but we're going to really get personal here. I want to dig into Max and Lucas's opinions on some of these players that they absolutely have to have, players that they think can bounce back this year and provide great fantasy value, and guys that they absolutely do not want on their team in any way, shape, or form. So let's start with the second-round talent. So we're going to take second-round talent and see who you would grab from that second round and why. Max, I'd like to start with you. Tell me about this. In the second round you're drafting, who you grabbing and why?
I want to say Lamar Miller. I want to say Lamar Miller so bad because I think the fans know I love him. But in the second round, this may be kind of high, but I'm taking Marshawn Lynch. It's the Seahawk. It could be the Seahawk homer in me. It could be the fact that when he retired, I thought there was still gas left in the tank. But on Oakland, with that offense, he is going to be a monster. Yep. They have receiving backs, so he doesn't necessarily have to catch, but they could definitely use him in that situation. But this is a team that, like, I expect Oakland to win games like 56 to like 42 or something crazy, where their defense is going to do nothing, but their offense is going to literally carry them. And Marshawn Lynch is going to be a huge, huge part of that offense. And any team, any player, like fantasy player, will be lucky to have him on this squad.
Do you have any concerns about his age or his time off or his general injury proneness?
His age, not really. The time off, I think, was probably good for him. You know, rest the bones, rest the body, get fully healthy. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was so adamant in coming back, so adamant to be in Oakland, he's back in his hometown, he's going to put on a show. He's one of those players, it's like Megatron is talking about Calvin Johnson, yeah. Talking about coming back in the NFL. He's one of those players that, like Megatron, almost like transcends age, where it's like, I'm more concerned with Calvin Johnson if he came back because he is a receiver. His ankles have been broken and his feet have been jacked up. I still think he'll perform. You know what I mean? I still think Calvin Johnson will be a really good receiver. Marshawn Lynch, I still think, will be a top 10 running back easy. It's the beast mode. You know what I mean? He's just so good. And there's never really been a point in the last two or three seasons of his career where you look at him when he's healthy, mind you, and you go, oh, you know, he's slowing down. He's not as powerful. He's not as explosive. When he retired, everyone was kind of like, what just happened? Like, why are you leaving?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? It was kind of
a shock.
Yeah, it was kind of a shock. It just kind of sort of happened, and he didn't have a lot of fanfare, but that's kind of how he's always been. He kind of just does what he does, doesn't really care to tell the media about it, and lives his life.
As a Seahawks fan, I love him, honestly, if you want to be private, dude, be private. Like, that is your life. I get it. But that being said, the shock wasn't the fact that he retired. The shock was the fact that no one thought he should retire. No one thought he was done. You know what I mean? Everyone saw that. Like, it wasn't like Jamal Charles, where Jamal Charles has clearly lost a step. You know, he's still a good running back, but you don't want him to be your lead back. Because there's clearly, like, he's been hurt too much. There's too much, like, wear on the tires. Marshawn Lynch, people thought, you know, like, he probably has two or three good seasons left in him. And he was like, yeah, I'm done. Later.
Yeah,
He
never really gave a reason.
Yeah, he just wanted out.
Never really said, I just too much injuries, or I don't like doing it anymore, whatever. Never really gave a reason. Okay, I mean, that's all fair point. Give me a quick, in terms of, like, your top running backs, about where does he fall, if you just had to rank your running backs real quick?
On the spot, so I put him at 7.
Okay, 7th overall running back. All right. Lucas, Tell me your second round guy, who you're grabbing, and why.
My second round guy that I would have to have is Todd Gurley. And my reason for that is because Todd Gurley is every bit as good of a player as David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. He's obviously not on as good of a team, but that guy can play. His rookie year, when you see him, when I saw him out on the field and he got the ball in the flats, I just looked at him run and I said, it looks like he's playing against lesser people. Like these people that are on the field do not look like they belong on the same field as Todd Gurley. And this is with him being a rookie.
Right.
Last year, I'm going to chalk this up to being a transitional period with them moving from St. Louis over to LA. There's probably a lot of behind the scenes things that it's just going to take them a little while to settle a whole team to settle down into a new city and gel, right? Todd Gurley is just an amazing player. Call it a sophomore slump, call it whatever you want, but get that guy the ball. Don't be shy about it. And there's not much else that you need to say. The guy just looks good. He's great at this game, and he belongs to be in the first round, and he really belongs to be on a better team that can really utilize his talent. But we know where he is right now. I think that he is going to score 50% more fantasy points than what he did last year, if not more.
That would be really nice. I like that you took it to what you saw on film. So you're chalking up last season to some non-Gurley issues, non-Todd,
yes.
Non-Todd issues.
Yep.
Do you see anything in the Rams? Maybe it's too early. Maybe you need to wait for training camp. But do you think some of those things have been resolved?
There's a lot of speculation, and you know I can sit here and throw my opinion around all day. But there's things that I want to see with my eyes. I can read beat reporter things. I can read, but I really put very little in those. I take them with a grain of salt. I trust what I can see. And I trust the determinations that I make based on what I see happening. So film to me is the absolute best thing, because when you're getting an opinion, you're just really getting someone else, you know, you're getting second hand here, right? So you're getting someone else's opinion on something. So if you truly trust that person that you're reading, well, that's one thing. If you find a few beat, you know, writers or just a few other reporters that you really trust their eyes, similar to your own, but other, you know, right now it's just fun to read is really what it is. It just gets me hyped up, but I don't put much stock in anything else.
All right. Well, as a Gurley owner last year, I felt burned. I felt hurt. So I'm going to listen to you, Lucas, and I'm going to reevaluate. I'm going to watch some tape, and I'm going to consider looking at him in my drafts this year, especially if he's fallen to, you know, second, third, fourth round. Let's talk about some guys who you would grab in those rounds, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, guys that may have fallen because of performance last year, who you still think have talent, who have a good potential to bounce back. So I guess we could kind of include Todd Gurley in that, but now we're looking at sort of the mid-round guys. Let's start with Lucas this time. Let's go on this one. Who's your bounce-back guy sort of in the middle of your – in early middle of your draft?
Well, see, I have a few here, but the one I really want to talk about is I'm going to go one round even later. I'm going to go Danny Woodhead, who's currently going as the 85th overall pick, 7-12. He's going as the 12th pick in the 7th round. This guy, he has moved teams. There's a lot of unknown here, but I think that Joe Flacco and him are going to connect. He is going to get used a lot. They have Macklin now, who's just going to be screaming down the field, and I think you're going to see him utilized more. He's a name you're not hearing a whole lot right now, but I think that we're going to see a lot more power out of that offense, and I think that you're going to see Danny Woodhead with, like, I don't know, 50, 60 catches, and he's probably going to have 7 touchdowns. I mean, this is a guy that you should target, and I think that his value is probably going to be about 5th-round value, and there's not a whole lot of running backs this year in the draft that I'm very confident about. This guy is one that I want to get my hands on, especially if I can get him 5th-round or later.
All right, just
in standard.
It's standard. Okay, just quick follow-up. Obviously, PPR is slightly more valuable. But a quick follow-up, is that a backfield that you'd want to own more than just that one piece to? Are you still looking at Dixon and West to kind of be part of your team?
No, like I think that someone else will come out with points, but I'm not really comfortable saying who. I think that Dixon is the better player, but I don't really trust what the coaches are going to do. I don't trust the coaches there to hand the ball off enough to who I think should get it. So I say if you want one of those other guys, I mean, one of them could hit for you. I'm not confident enough to roster really either of them. There's other people I'd rather target. And if I'm going to have a running back, it's Danny Woodhead, because I think that you can get him for the value, and I think that he is a safer bet and has a good connection with Flacco.
These goddamn coaches never do what us fantasy players want them to do. You got to catch them in something. You got to get, like, photo evidence of them doing something bad. Then maybe you can blackmail them into starting somebody. Yep. But all right, Max, been making you wait on this one, but let's hear it. Second round, I'm sorry, not second round, your bounce back player, who you want to grab sort of in the early middle of your draft.
My bounce back player is going to be, it's going to be primarily a PPR pick. I mean, those are the most leagues I play in, but it'll work in standard too, just depending. It could be, it'll be a wide receiver three for you, I guess. But Jordan Matthews. I love Jordan Matthews this year. I love the Eagles this year. I think the Eagles are going to be a team to really come out swinging. I don't know, with the addition of Alshon, I expect him to have a bounce back. With LeGarrette Blount, with Smith, Jordan Matthews finds himself back into his original role of being the slot receiver. In the years he was a slot receiver, he had 8 touchdowns. His rookie year, he had 67 catches. Sophomore year, 85 catches. Sophomore year, 2015, 85 catches, almost 3 yards short of 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That's a pretty nice receiver to have, especially in PPR. Now, last year was a down year with only 73 receptions, 3 touchdowns, 800 yards. But like I said, we have Alshon there, a true number one receiver like Macklin was. With Wentz having another year under his belt, when you have Ertz, when you have Smith, when you have Sproles still there, I think Jordan Matthews is a receiver that, like I say again, in stress, especially in PPR, is going to be extremely explosive for you. And you should definitely own.
I like that. He's way down, too.
Yeah. I've been catching him, my God, 10th round, 11th round, I mean, sometimes.
He's going. His ADP right now is in the 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where he burned a lot of people last year. People expecting him to have his, you know, he's the number one now. He's going to break out. But it's hard to break out when the rest of your team falls apart. And the rest of your team, it wasn't Wentz's fault, it wasn't Zach Ertz's fault, it wasn't the O-line's fault, it wasn't really the running back's fault. It was the fact that Nelson Agholor literally couldn't catch a ball to save his life, and Darrell Green Beckham, like, you know, he tried, and, like, that's all I can say, but they brought some real talent in there, and Jordan Matthews, super late, is going to be such a nice addition to have on your team. And in PPR, he could be, like, your number two receiver.
And you're,
like, he could literally post those kind of numbers.
And you're saying it was because he wasn't playing the best position for his ability?
Well, he's a slot receiver, naturally. That's what he's supposed to be, and he had to play outside. He couldn't be a slot because they literally couldn't afford to have him there.
Yeah.
He had to be everything, and he couldn't. And it's not like, oh, like he couldn't because he's not that good. It's he couldn't because when you only have one target on your team, you're going to get that target covered. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, no one helping him. And I think this year, with the additions the Eagles have made, Jordan Matthews is going to have that quote-unquote breakout year.
Yeah, I think this division, that division itself, is going to have a lot of offensive firepower in it. All the teams in it, to me at least, just from the eye test, look like they're ready to compete. So the Eagles is definitely one. And I'm glad you mentioned Jordan Matthews, because people really, I think I just forgot about his name because I've seen him really late in drafts lately, but I'm very happy to get him. And I hadn't heard your take on him before, but I'm very happy to get him in drafts because I think he's a talented guy. And I think you're right on. I think with the amount of passing they're going to have to do, the volume of passing they're going to have to do, he's definitely going to be a good PPR option for you. All right, let's move on. We'll talk about guys that we would avoid at all costs. Like the plague. We just don't want to be around them. We don't know why. There's something wrong with them. We're going to try to figure it out. Max, tell me the guy that you will not roster on any of your teams this year. Even if he falls to, he's available in like the 8th or 9th or 10th round. And he's just sitting. Your team is ready to go. This guy's sitting there looking at you with his puppy dog eyes. And you just pass him by. Who is it?
You know, I actually have to look for him right now on the ADP because I'm curious. So, I was going to say Matt Forte. I do not want Matt Forte on any of my teams, but realistically, he's the 105th pick overall, so he's 104th pick, so he's in the ninth round. So you might not even need a running back by then. But the state of the Jets is so bad that I have literally zero interest in Matt Forte. I'm going to have to say C.J. Anderson, though. He's a fifth-round pick. That could be your second running back. I don't want him.
Yeah.
No, that's a good pick.
He was not good last year. I think Denver is trying to ship him out. I like Denver as a team this year. I think they'll be decent. Their defense is still good. I think their offense, you know, depending on who the QB is and how that shakes out, will be fine. But C.J. Anderson is a running back where we've seen flashes. He's looked really good. He's been star running backs for some people sometimes. But when the team is already talking about trying to get rid of him, and, you know, we're still so far away from the season even starting, it's a bad sign. In the fifth round value, it just, that doesn't speak well. It doesn't sit well with me. And it's someone I would definitely try to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, I've been seeing him go fifth or earlier in some drafts and some mock drafts. And I'm just amazed. I'm like, well, what? Why? Why would you do that? Why would you take that risk? Especially now they brought Charles in. I mean, you got to think they're going to give Charles some work as well. So that's a good one. I might agree with that one. Lucas, I want to hear who your guy is that you absolutely do not want on your team.
Someone just take Sammy Watkins behind the woodshed, get rid of him. We don't want this guy around. He has destroyed so many fantasy dreams. He was the only person I could think destroyed more last year was Jamaal Charles. And a lot of that was just the hype that they were leading us to think that he was going to be good to go, and then he just wasn't. But Sammy Watkins, this guy, I just have this image in my head of him catching a touchdown and me being so excited he was finally back and doing Sammy Watkins things, and then he walks right out of the end zone into the locker room. He caught a touchdown with nobody on him, and he like squat down to catch it. And it was so awkward looking, and he rolled up his ankle and was just done saying his foot hurt him. If I hear him say one more time that his foot is hurting him, I'm done. No, I'm already done. I'm past done. Every single, like probably half of the NFL players are playing with a broken bone of some sort in their body. And this guy, he's flying all over the world. Oh, he's seeing this specialist this week. Oh, he's going to another one for a 14th opinion. And the first 13 told him just to play through the pain that everyone else does, but it was too much for him. Like, what are you doing? If you can't man up enough to make millions of dollars and play through a little pain, then just go home and watch it on Sundays like the rest of us.
All right.
Wow. That was all right. That's what I wanted to see.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's a take, and it didn't suck. All right.
I asked for it. So somebody, I mean, realistically, it's my fault.
Somebody refresh my memory. When and why did Sammy Watkins get all this hype around him?
Because when he's healthy, he's great. When Sammy Watkins is like for the four plays
but
a season,
when he is on the field.
Okay. He is elite.
All right. So for four games a season, that's what people say. Oh my God, he's so good! But do they realize
why does John Connery like?
It's because of his potential. He has so much potential. He's one of those guys that if he was healthy and stayed healthy, he should be going in the first round. If he was able to stay healthy, I would rather. I mean, if he was healthy, I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna sound blasphemous, but I would. Second round for sure. I would take him ahead of T.Y. I would take him ahead of Michael Thomas. I like Jordy a lot. Talent-wise, though, Sammy, you know, Jordy's not there. Like, Jordy's just able to stay on the field and do his thing. Sammy has the potential. He could easily be first-round talk. Like, as I compare him a little bit to A.J. Green in my mind, just an A.J. Green that is even unhealthier.
I think... It's not A.J. Green. Blasphemy, I know. When I see Sammy Watkins healthy, Hopkins, Antonio Brown. He's fast. He's shifty. He can jump. He can make you look a fool on the field. There is so much raw potential. There is the potential of an elite athlete. You're just like, oh, my God, I want you to be so good. But it's like, oh, I have a hangnail. See you guys in 6 weeks.
Yep.
And the team will pay him. The team will pay him because that 1 week he's on the field, he's going to be your team. But at some point, like he's a player that football teams want. Fantasy teams don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, potential doesn't win you fantasy weeks. It never has, never will. Unless you want to start a new league with a new scoring system for potential, I'd be willing to play in that. But this guy, he's what's around? All right, you said you didn't want to ever want him on your team. But if he fell to what round, would you grab him? Maybe you're going to trade him away, but like, where would you actually consider grabbing him if he fell? Sixth?
Realistically?
Yeah.
Probably, I'm just looking at ADP right now. I mean, Julian Edelman is going 601. So would I take him in front of Julian Edelman? Not a chance. Would I take him in front of Dante Moncrief or Golden Tate? Not a chance.
Yeah, but would you take him in front of like Rashad Matthews, Adam Thielen, or Jordan Matthews?
Yes, I think
those are late 11th, 12th rounds. And I don't think I would. I mean, unless it's strictly for trade bait, I would be much happier having Thielen on my team or Jordan Matthews. And I know someone is going to listen to this tomorrow and spit their coffee out and leave a mean review about how stupid I am. But the two great weeks he has a year isn't worth it to me.
I think that I would take him realistically. I would probably, depending on what my squad looked like, I would take him in the eighth round. And it's going to depend. If he's my third wide receiver at that point, or you know, or even my fourth, depending on how my draft is going, I'm pretty okay with that. If I'm already set and have one and two, I'm okay taking that upside because there are guys that I know that I can get later if he doesn't work out. Marvin Jones, I like a lot, and he's going the 118th overall pick.
Eric Decker's in ninth round.
I mean, there's a lot of different people in each round that you could potentially, you know, Devontae Parker, I think, will have a pretty big year. Jeremy Maclin, I said, is going to have a big year. And those are eights. So I would probably take him after those two.
Well, it's like you have Marvin Jones, who did well last year. Corey Coleman in the 10th round, who should be good this year. Cameron Meredith for the Bears, he's their new number two, and he was good last year. Tyrell Williams for the Chargers. We already talked about a potential breakout for him, and he's in the 11th. Like, there are players here where it's like, is the talent equal to Sammy Watkins? No. But what Steve said, you don't draft potential. There's no scoring for potential. There's scoring for production.
Right.
And there's no production there. I just don't get it. And I don't see it.
Even if he made, like, 10 to 12 games a season. Not a whole season, okay, but like
if it's 12 games, I would draft him in the fourth round.
Yes, if you could say for sure that you were going to get 75% of the games with him healthy on, like, I'm not saying just being, you know, someone to draw a defender. I'm talking about like healthy as a 90% or better. Like he's going out there and doing what you expect him to do, then he's going to finish a wide receiver one based on his talent, because most people can't catch him. He will burn you. He will burn you if he's healthy. And that's, it's not even, you know, you're literally flipping a coin. Every game, you are going into that game flipping a coin whether or not he's going to be there. And it's probably less than that.
He does play, he's just a distraction. That's
he's a decoy. Right. He's a decoy.
You mentioned, I was interested, that Lucas, when you mentioned that injury that you mentioned, when he was running into the end zone untouched, tweaked something, and then what, foot hurt problem or whatever. That made me think of what are some, if I don't know, maybe guys, you got it off the top of your head, are there any players that you can think of that I might want to avoid in my drafts who get those types of weird, like, not quite sure how to control their body type injuries, the non-contact injuries, the tweaks, the sprains? It's like maybe just their soft tissue is not good. Are there any players like that that you could think of off the top of your head that I should kind of put on my might not consider
Alshon
list?
Jeffrey.
Yeah?
Who?
Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey plays through them, so I can't, because I thought of that too.
I don't know. I rostered him a couple years ago, and I regretted that because
I've had him 3 years in a row. Last year sucked because his team was terrible. But
he's a great player, but
I'd rather him over Sammy Watkins.
Yes, like, but Alshon, he's still,
if they
another
give him
one.
Third, fourth round, I'm happy with it.
He's still another one that you're sitting there, you know, well, how's he, you know, when he's on the injury report, because he's almost always on there. Almost always.
Well,
is
so
he
is Tom
on
Brady.
There. Yeah, but they do that for a different reason, though. You know, Belichick puts as many people on the injury report as he possibly can. Alshon's on there because he legitimately is injury prone and may not play that week.
Now, I got three. Yeah, I think I have three.
All right.
That I tend to avoid because of their bodies. Number one is Rob Gronkowski. I can't justify paying that draft price for a guy who can potentially miss the entire season with a broken arm, and then as soon as he's coming back, he hurts it again or gets it infected at a club. I just can't do that. Amir Abdullah, as much as I do think he could be a great running back, the guy just can't stay healthy, like, at all. Who is my third one? I was just looking at his
possibly name. C.J. Anderson.
Oh, not just C.J. Anderson.
You don't have any love for him.
But you remember Thomas Rawls.
Okay. Doug Martin.
Doug Martin. Yeah, Doug Martin. He's going to be suspended 4 games anyway, so I don't even know why his ADP is even that high. He's being drafted before Lynch, and that kind of confuses me because it's like he's already missing 4 games. They like him about as much as as the Oakland Raiders liked Latavius Murray last year, which is they didn't. Like, why are you drafting him so high? What is the hype with this guy? Because there shouldn't be that much hype. I do love Doug Martin. I think he's very talented. I agree, injury prone. C.J. Anderson, don't, like, fifth round is way too early. If he's if I'm in the ninth, tenth round and he's still on Denver, I'll take a look. You know what I mean? I might grab him. But I just feel like fifth is way too early, especially, I agree, for the injuries. Amir Abdullah is the 60th overall pick. So tail end of the 10th round.
Too early, you think?
Oh, tail end of the 5th round, sorry.
Fifth round. 10. Okay, yeah, I was going to say
5.1 is average draft. 5.10 is average draft position. Sorry about that. He hasn't played enough to even warrant that. It's kind of like when people are getting hyped over John Brown, another one. What the hell has John Brown done in the NFL that warrants this hype for him? He's not fast.
Well, they no longer have Floyd. And
Jerron, whatever the guy's name is, he did more than John.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily. Eventually, you hope that skill wins out, but with that coaching staff there, look how long it took for David Johnson to get the lion's share of the workload. He was clearly better.
Dude, Chris Johnson, who you want to save your young guys, Bruce Arians saves them. This is going to be John Brown's third year in the season. Yeah, but they weren't losing with Chris Johnson. He was killing it. He was doing very, very well.
So one of the things I'll say,
there was no real rush to get David Johnson on the field potentially injured when you have an older running back you're not paying that much who is tearing it up. Now, if you want to look at John Brown, you got Tyler Lockett, who I believe is the exact same receiver. They're, like, identical. Yeah. Both wicked fast, both shifty, both have decent hands. Tyler Lockett has all the opportunity in the world, and I think a better quarterback. Now, Carson Palmer in his prime, I loved him, thought he was great, but he's older now. So their quarterback's abilities, Russell Wilson's could be better. Probably is better. Tyler Lockett hasn't done much. Opportunity is there, is knocking. John Brown gets tackled or looked at funny by a big defender, he's hurt.
Lucas, you had something to say there?
Well, what I was going to say about Amir Abdullah is that what moves did they make at running back for Detroit?
Zero?
Exactly.
I don't think they did. I think they wanted to be, but
so what do the coaches see? What do the coaches know that we don't? Why would they be that confident?
Yeah, but let's talk about the moves Detroit Lions have made at running back in the last 5 years. Like, they don't. They don't care.
I mean, they picked up Amir Abdullah. Who do they have? I mean, they have Zinner. They have Theo Riddick.
I think is the most talented. Like, I think he's your best bet for high production. But they had, who's that Bell guy they had a while ago? Joique?
Oh, Joique Bell. Joique Bell. He was
constantly injured.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. Like, I just feel like that's why Calvin Johnson doesn't want to go back. There are certain teams that I feel like the coaching staff and the upper management like just don't give a shit about certain aspects of their team. And I feel like they kind of look at running back as, any position can have it. You know what I mean? Any player can do it.
I just think that there's a big question mark there. And I think that there's unknowns, and we haven't seen Amir Abdullah with a consistent workload, healthy. We saw him make some breakout runs where he just burned people. So I think what it is there is that at the 60th overall pick, You know, look who's going before him. You have Ty Montgomery, which, I mean, they have three rookie running backs, so you're not sure what's going to happen there.
You love him.
Me too, but I also, you know, ran into Devonta Mays the other day at my gym, actually, who is one of the rookie running backs there. And there's a lot of competition, so we'll see if Ty Montgomery can hold up and not get injured, because he's not that, he's not a huge, stocky dude. He's pretty, you know, he's an NFL player, but we'll see if he can hold up. You have LeGarrette Blount, you have Mike Gillisley, you have C.J. Anderson, you have Dalvin Cook, you have Eddie Lacy, and then you have Ameer Abdullah. So, I mean, there's a lot of question marks with those guys. LeGarrette Blount with Philadelphia, we'll see what he can do there. Mike Gillisley in New England, I mean, he looked really good as McCoy's backup when the defense was tired, had some good runs, but we'll see what happened there. C.J. Anderson, we know we don't like him. Dalvin Cook, well, if Adrian Peterson couldn't do it on Minnesota, do we really think he's going to? Cheeseburger Eddie in Seattle, we don't even know if he's going to be, you know, really the one getting the touches there. So
Eddie Lacy's already made one goal. Thomas Rawls be injured in preseason. Eddie Lacy could be a decent late-round flyer.
My point, saying. Though, is that you just see those are all running backs that are currently going ahead of him. And the very next one is Paul Perkins, Tevin Coleman, and Mark Ingram, which Ingram being in the sixth round right now and Peterson's going in the fourth. I mean, I love Peterson. I will see how much work they give him. But it's Ameer Abdullah, I think, is about where he should be given the other things. And the thing about running backs this year is more so than previous years, we really just don't know. There's so many question marks with what's going on. You see Cincinnati, they still have, you know, they have Joe Mixon, who I like a lot, but actually I like Cincinnati a lot this year. Guys, go pick up some Cincinnati players. You will be happy with it this year. They're going to have a really powerful offense.
It's the first I've heard that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
Eifert, AJ Green, Joe Mixon.
All right, let's just stop talking about Eifert and Eric Ebron, okay? Let's pretend they don't even exist, because in the grand scheme of things, they're Sammy Watkins of tight ends.
Well, I mean, gosh, and actually that's a good segue into the one last person that I love, but in terms of like getting injured, it seems like it's more frequently whenever you own him, is Jordan Reed. I love Jordan Reed, but that guy cannot stay healthy. He can come out and play with his arm like torn off at the shoulder and catch three touchdowns, but you know, the guy never seems to be fully healthy.
Is it safe to say that both you guys, if you're not picking in the first three spots, are going close to, if not completely, zero RB strategy this year?
No. I'm going full RB.
You're going full RB.
This year is the year to stress running backs. In our private chats when we were talking about our Scott Fishbowl, I freaked out about it. On previous shows, I freaked out about it. The running back situation this year is so limited as to where there's literally only a handful of running backs who aren't sharing a backfield that I can trust to be my running back. You know what I mean? Yep. Where, as far as receivers, like PPR, I can get Jarvis Landry, Jordan Matthews, and let's say,
Tyreek
Hill.
I can have those three running receivers.
Yeah, wide receivers this year, especially like that's the flush market. The market is wide receivers, because like Latavius Murray, eighth round. Who knows if Latavius Murray is going to start? Ameer Abdullah, who knows? C.J. Anderson, who knows? LeGarrette Blount, I like, but who knows? Ty Montgomery, fourth round, who knows? But it's like you can scoop these other receivers later, and you'll be fine. Like Adrian Peterson and Mark Ingram aren't safe bets because they're splitting a backfield. Carlos Hyde isn't a safe bet. Joe Mixon, McCaffrey, Spencer Ware, not safe bets. Isaiah Crowell, okay. Lamar Miller, okay, so that's two. Fournette, no, because the Jags haven't had a good run game in five years, if not longer.
Yeah.
Then you have
T.J. Yeldon would be it. Nope.
Yeah. You have Howard. Howard. So yeah, Gurley, okay. Lynch, all right. So we got five. DeMarco Murray, possibly. Derrick Henry, come on.
Still, you got to give it to Murray.
I love Murray, but Derrick Henry is still there. So DeMarco Murray, I will say six.
I think.
Jay Ajayi, who the hell knows? Miami doesn't even know what they're doing with their own backfield. Devontae Freeman, I like, but again, he splits a backfield with Tevin Coleman.
It's okay, though. That's a big yes. When he touches the ball.
All right, so we're at seven. Melvin Gordon, you don't like him, but I do, so we're going to get 8. LeSean McCoy, I actually don't trust this year. Especially
I love McCoy. Give me McCoy all day long.
He's getting older, and I just don't trust it, but all right. So we have, we have Zeke, Bell, and Johnson, who are obvious. But out of, like, the top 20 running backs, there's only 10 I would even, like, want. There's only 10 I would feel, like, remotely confident with starting every week.
This is enlightening, because you guys just spent, like, a good 20 minutes shitting all over running backs, and now I realize that the point of that is that I want to get as many as I can, because I don't know.
Exactly. You don't know. Yeah.
So I want to get
early,
as many.
Or you just want to load up, yep.
All right.
You got to think, the Jags have Yeldon, who could, you know, maybe he'll be great. Who knows? They have Chris Ivory, who's
you
been
Fournette.
Great.
They have Fournette.
No, they have Sylvie. They still have Yeldon.
Yeah, but Leonard Fournette is the one
I know,
that added those two.
I'm just saying that they have Yeldon. They have Chris Ivory, who 2 years ago was phenomenal, was a little tank on the Jets. And they have Fournette. I can't trust any of them on that team because they just don't give a shit. Like, they don't care. Like, you have Frank Gore in the 7th round. Oh, it's Frank Gore. Ooh. You know what I mean? Like, he never ages.
I don't care. I love Frank Gore. Give
you
me Frank
have
Gore
him on
all
your team,
day
that's
long
fine.
In the, like, the 6th or 7th round.
I think you look at, like, Adrian Peterson and in Mark Ingram, they're only separated by 2 rounds. Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray, they're only separated by 3 rounds. So everyone's viewing them high. So realistically, who knows? Mike Gillislee with New England. People are like, oh, he's going to be the running back. I think it's James White. My friend thinks it's Deion Lewis.
I think I'm not touching Gillislee.
Me neither, but that's the thing. But Mike Gillislee isn't a running back. I'm not touching him because I don't like his talent. I'm not touching him because I don't like the backfield situation.
I don't like playing the Belichick game.
Exactly. I had the Garrett Blunt last year because I went 0 RB for the first time ever, and I got super lucky. But, like, the thing is, you want to attack running back this year. Attack it. PPR, still attack it. Now, if you go Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell, or Mike Evans, or even A.J. Green in the first round, I understand. But get a damn running back in the second round, because there isn't enough to go around. And if you can lock, if your first pick is, say you get the first overall pick, you scoop David Johnson. Second round, you start off, even if you grab Lamar Miller, like boom, boom, right there. You could stop drafting running backs.
I'd personally rather have Crowell than Miller, but that's just me.
I love Miller, but I can see where you're coming from. But, like, right there, you just locked down 2 running backs. And if you look, like, oh, no, some of the elite receivers are gone. It's like, oh, you can still grab Keenan Allen. You know what I mean? You can still grab Allen Robinson, who I think should have bounced back here. Demaryius. Gross Sammy Watkins. Alshon Jeffrey. Like there's still Martavis Bryant. Tyreek Hill, Michael Crabtree, Jarvis Lynn. There's so much receiver talent. It's
there,
crazy.
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of weapons. Like, I mean, look. I mean, Cole Beasley, where is he at? This guy's 190th. You can get him in the 14th round.
And he's a PPR stud.
Allen Hurns 2 years ago was like the number 15 wideout. He's pick 186 right now.
Yeah, they're getting him in the last round.
You know, Sterling Shepard. I know that they just got Brandon Marshall, but who's to say that Sterling Shepard isn't the number 2 on that team by the end of the year?
What's Jameson Crowder? Because Crowder, they even came out and said that he's going to be getting an increase in work. And I love Crowder, and I know
he's pretty high, 74, so pick 612, you know, very last pick in the 6th.
Yeah, that's still, like, that's a good round to get a decent receiver.
Yeah, the point is that there's wide receivers to be had all the way to, like, you know, really the 10th and 11th round that could have good years. So the running backs, there's going to be some in there, but you're playing roulette with those. It's not quite as much of a sure thing. So
let's talk about this real quick. So the last – I'm on a fantasy football calculator right now looking at ADP. So we'll do the last 7 skill positions, okay? The last 7 are James Conner, Pittsburgh running back. I have no idea who it is. Robert Turbin, who's – on Seattle, he's not going to start ever. Tyler Lockett, who I would take over both of them, is 197. He's ranked lower. Kenny Stills, who's now who's ranked lower than them at 200, and I would take over those two running backs. Will Fuller, all the way at 207, I will take over those two running backs. And Tavon Austin, who up until last year everyone thought like could break out, is pick 212. There is so much wide receiver depth. It is crazy.
And, you know, if you're pick 8, to me, I think that's, you know, that's a decent pick because you could grab I personally would take McCoy or Freeman over Melvin Gordon. Some, you know, everyone has their own preferences. I think both of those guys are a lot better with the ball in their hand than Gordon. Gordon was a product of opportunity getting as many touchdowns as he did with Danny Woodhead going out, but that's kind of my argument with that. So McCoy and then Devonta Freeman, and then on the flip around, I mean, you can grab someone like Lynch or Gurley, and you could possibly have Murray or Howard fall to you. Like,
yeah,
you start with two of those running backs, like, teams are going to be scared of you. And if you get a decent third one that you get to play in your flex, you're set. You really are. You can, you know, find value at quarterback, find value at wide receiver, grab a decent tight end, and you are going to be a monster team.
I've learned so much in the last 10 minutes of you guys. I just let you guys go. So much fire, so much energy, so much information just came into my head. And I know the fans learned a lot too, and the fans and listeners. So if you're new to the show, keep listening. The rest of the preseason, we're going to be giving you great information like this, getting you ready for your draft, because that's the goal, to get you ready for your draft so you know you're making the right decisions, you're not killing your season before it starts, you can have a good, solid depth to all your positions. And now, today we learned, while running backs might be shit, you got to get a lot of them, because you never know what's going to happen. Lucas, Max, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was my pleasure. It was my pleasure. Give everybody your sleeperbot handles.
My sleeperbot handle is MaxSW. Hit me up there. Ask me any questions you want. Or if you're on Twitter, just go to at the Sleeperwire Show or at Sleeperwire Show, whichever one it is. I also answer questions on there a lot too.
You can find me, Lucas, on Sleeperbot, Sleeperwire LBB. If you have specific tweets or questions that you want to throw towards me, you can find me at the Sleeperwire at Twitter. Just where you can find Max.
All right, and anything else you want to learn about us, want to learn about the Pro-Am, want to learn more about what we do, our rankings, our videos, our podcasts, our live shows, all that stuff is on sleeperwire.com. You can visit that now. And don't forget, when you make a donation to support Rob, our friend, either through our site, sleeperwire.com, or you go to the GoFundMe Rob JR page, you're going to get yourself an entry. As long as it's a $10 denomination, you're going to get yourself an entry for a chance to play with the pros in the Pro-Am. So check it out at sleeperwire.com. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week.